You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, if you used it correctly, credit cards can be very useful in helping consumers develop a positive credit profile. That's according to Lauren Werpner, who is the consumer care specialist at Credit Bureau CompuScan. This will help improve your credit record with credit bureaus while allowing you the chance to use more credit in the future. We're talking about credit cards, do's and don'ts, and we are joined this evening by Witness Kamara, who is on the line to help us understand the issue of credit cards. Good evening, Witness.
Tabela, good evening. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. And yourself?
I'm okay. I just have a bit of the flu, but recovering now.
Ah, you're not the only one, eh? I hear there's a bug going around. A lot of people are getting sick, eh?
Yeah.
Did you take meds, see a doctor, I suppose?
Yeah, so I went into the office this morning, and then at about 10 a.m. I actually just left and
sure. Oh, so
I've been working from home since, and then picked up some meds on the way. Yeah.
Oh, lovely. Hope you get better.
No, thank you.
Yeah, and I appreciate your time as well. I know you could be nursing yourself to recovery, but just taking the time this evening to talk to us once again, we really, really appreciate that and appreciate your time. But let me just do this one first. For people who may not know you, I know you're a friend of the show and we really appreciate that, but who is Witness Kamara?
Sure. That's a broke.
I know you've done it before, but I mean, like, you know, new listeners, we're revamping the show, so I thought let's just start there as well.
yeah. No, look, I'm a father of two wonderful children.
Yeah.
My daughter Irene is 8 years old.
Yeah.
She's in grade 3.
Yeah.
And my son Joshua is 5 and turning 6 in November.
Yeah.
And he's in grade 0.
Yeah.
And then I personally I've been banking since I graduated.
Yeah.
In investment banking specifically, and focused on mining and resources financing.
Mm.
And I actually identify with it because the construction of mines transforms communities.
Sure,
so if you look at the history of Southern Africa, our resources have really developed. Towns like Kimberley was the first town to get electricity, for instance. And after Kimberley was Barberton when they discovered gold there.
Yeah.
And everyone knows Johannesburg is about the gold.
Yeah.
Johannesburg was built off the gold economy, and everywhere else in Africa you'll see that our resources transform economies, and that's what I identify with, and so that's what I actually do in life.
Ah, that's lovely. Really appreciate that. Now, we're talking about credit cards, do's and don'ts then, but firstly, let's start with the issue of credit. And I always want to never underestimate and take it for granted that maybe people understand what credit is. Before we can understand this plastic, which is called a credit card, you know, when we're talking credit, what are we talking about?
Yeah, so look, credit is good.
Okay.
Okay, let me not say credit is good. What I'll say is liquidity is good.
Okay.
At any point in time.
Yeah.
And liquidity is your positive balance in your bank account or whatever cash you have, plus what you have as a safety net.
Yeah.
So if I look at, I just explained to you what I do.
Yeah.
So a lot of my clients, especially the established mining houses, and a lot of other corporates, don't have what are called revolving credit facilities.
Yeah.
These are just massive credit cards, and they're billions at a time, right? And they dip into them as and when the need arises
yeah.
based on their working capital cycle.
Yeah.
So it's good to have a credit card, because your working capital cycle is something that you can't define absolutely.
Mm.
And by that I mean, you know, if for instance you are in business,
mm.
you don't know when your debtors will pay you.
Mm.
You don't know when your stock will move. Mm. So you don't know when you'll actually get positive cash mm. balances. And when you're in a situation like that, liquidity is important, and mm. liquidity in the form of a credit card is quite, you know, it's the most basic and easiest way mm. To manage that, call it risk, mm. In your affairs.
Mm.
So credit cards are very useful. But they're not things that you should abuse. And from what I gather, this is the point of this conversation.
Indeed. Before we even get to that now, and you're raising a very important point around liquidity and its effect. And as you say that, I'm actually thinking that perhaps there's exogenous factors or other exogenous benefits to having a credit card. And we'll unpack that in just a little bit. But Can we in this day and age actually live and survive without credit? Is that an absolute necessary thing in life, or you know, one can do away without having credit?
Of course. I mean, one can do without credit.
Mm.
You know, if they save.
Mm.
Sufficiently
mm.
and invest prudently.
Yeah.
Because look, what happens when you invest is that you can actually tie up a lot of liquidity in assets that you cannot. And you know, the word liquidity is quite important
mm.
because you can tie up a lot of liquidity in assets that you cannot liquidate quickly enough.
Yeah.
So it's really about a balance between savings and investments
mm.
and if one saves to their ability
mm.
they could do without something like a credit card.
Yeah.
But what's happening now is that financial institutions are my kids are
no
playing
problem,
in the
no
background.
Problem. Don't worry.
So what's happening a lot with financial institutions now is that they are very aggressive
mm.
in their approach when it comes to credit cards. So in the first world,
okay.
for instance, as soon as you apply for a credit card, they will actually give you like $1,000 for free. And I'm talking, and I'm talking US dollars here, because credit cards come with significantly higher interest rates.
Mm.
And that's why you'll find that your credit card will come with, you know, it'll come with a lot of, they call it points,
mm.
but it really is the carrot for you to go mm. and spend that credit. I know it's a long-winded answer to your question, but, you know, it's not, yeah, it's not, if one manages their affairs
yeah.
Appropriately from a savings perspective,
yeah.
it's not required. But it is a product that one can dip into
mm.
As and when necessary to manage liquidity, like in emergencies, for instance.
Yeah. So what I'm getting is, you know, there are those absolute times when, you know, one can dip into it. I'm thinking here about assets, so asset accumulation, for instance, at a personal level, when you want to buy a house, or you know, since a house is also considered an asset, you want to buy a house, and I mean the average house in a decent place goes upwards of $1 million, you know, to 2 and 5 even. You know, I actually shared a little bit earlier on that I have this bad habit of watching this other show called Listing Josie. And the houses there are upwards of 20, 30, 40 million. I'm like, yo, people have money. But just to think of that example as well, You would have to save years, man, to get to 5 million rands, which you can put down to buy a house. And so one does then need to dip into some sort of credit. Am I understanding you correctly?
Yeah, no, so I think that's very different. So
okay,
the interest rate that you would get on a home loan versus the interest rate that you would get on a credit card,
yeah,
vastly different.
Yeah.
Because a home loan is a secured credit facility.
Yeah.
So there's something in banking that they call the loss given default.
Yeah.
So the banks calculate what they expect to lose when you default on credit.
Mm.
And when you get a home loan, that loss given default percentage is very low. Because the bank knows that if you default, they'll just take your house and they'll sell it.
Yeah.
But a credit card is an unsecured facility. So just to give you an example, the loss given default on a home loan can be something as low as 5% from a bank's calculation.
Yeah.
But the loss given default on a credit card can be
50% to 80%. Sure.
So that means that your interest rate on a home loan can be as low as, say, prime minus 2% or whatever. Yeah. But your interest rate on a credit card will be prime plus.
Makes sense.
So, yeah, I just wanted to make that point. And then also, I wouldn't advise on dipping into a credit card for, say, a home deposit, for instance.
Yeah.
My view on homes is that when you get into that sort of investment, you almost need to actually accumulate savings at least for a big portion of your
deposit.
Of your deposit. I don't think it's advisable to use your credit card for that sort of investment.
Okay. Happy with that. Are there benefits then of having this credit card? You know, like you said, there's a lot of them out there, you know, and maybe there's even incentives that bank kind of bring for people to take up credit cards with them specifically, whether it's the blue or black bank, whatever the case may be. What are the benefits?
No, look, like I said earlier, liquidity is important.
Yeah.
A working capital cycle is not something that you have in your control unless you are employed by an employer that gives you what you need as and when you need it. So credit cards are very useful from a liquidity point of view. Look, if you have an emergency, you know, if your geyser bursts and you know you can't claim from insurance, it's something that you can dip into. If you know, something happens in your family, there's a funeral and you don't have a funeral policy, you can dip into it. If you are going through something and need a break and want to go to you know, to Maun in Botswana for a holiday, you can dip into it. So it's useful. It certainly is useful. And look, banks will give it to you. They don't think about these things lightly. They will give you a limit that is in accordance with your earning capacity. But it's up to you as an individual not to abuse that. So you don't want to be in a position where you get a credit card, you max it out, and then you're paying them the minimum payment monthly. Because what actually happens is that you're actually only paying interest, and you're not servicing debt. So if you have a credit card, what you actually need to do is as in when your working capital cycle turns, you need to settle your credit card. That's the sort of thing you need to do with a credit card, as opposed to having it as a long-term debt item on your personal balance sheet, so to speak.
Yeah, makes sense. Which then lends us beautifully then into the do's and don'ts, which is our conversation today. Maybe let's start with the don'ts. What are the don'ts when it comes to credit cards? I've received it. I have it. I've listened to you advising me not to max it out. Look at emergencies when using it. But what are the things that I shouldn't do before maybe we get into the good things around what can I do with the credit card, which I think some of them you've already alluded to and touched on it. What shouldn't I do with the credit card?
Yeah, so I wouldn't go and pay a deposit on a home or a car using my credit card.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, that loss given default determination is quite important for banks.
Mm.
It's quite high on credit cards because credit cards are unsecured.
Mm.
And so if you're going to get, if you're going to use a credit card, then you're using expensive money to get into debt. So I certainly wouldn't do that.
Mm.
I wouldn't use my credit card to pay off any other debt, to be honest.
Mm.
That's a bit of, as far as that point is concerned, I mean, it also depends on what you get as an offer from your finance, from your financial services provider, as far as interest is concerned. Look, if you're going to get a good interest rate on a credit card and you can pay off more expensive debt using it, yeah, then you can actually go ahead. But the problem with a credit card is that it's not an amortizing debt facility.
Yeah.
And by that I mean, you know, a home loan or a car loan, the bank has a scheduled repayment every month that is principal from a capital perspective and interest.
Mm.
So your actual balance reduces over time.
Mm.
Whereas a credit card, its reduction in balance is up to you. So I wouldn't use that to go and repay amortizing debt. Because then the discipline kind of falls away in that interest.
Yeah,
in that instance.
Is the determination of the minimum repayment that the bank would do, doesn't that answer the question of amortization?
Not really.
Yeah.
Because that minimum payment is actually dependent on what you've utilized. So it's not about amortization.
Yeah.
It's really about servicing of interest and and a portion of principal.
Yeah.
But as far as credit cards are concerned, look, if with a credit card, you can pay that minimum payment, right? At 8 o'clock in the morning.
Mm.
And then at 5 PM, you can withdraw it again.
Yeah. True. That's what happens.
That's a credit card for you.
That's what happens. So I get what you mean by amortization from that angle. Because it's available.
Yeah, it's available.
Yeah.
It's
which is a trap we all run into.
You know, and you can even go and get another credit card to pay your other credit card.
So is that the classic case of borrowing from Peter to pay Paul in the same?
Exactly.
Well, sure. So it's very easy for a credit card to get out of hand.
That's right. It's very easy for a credit card to get out of hand.
Yeah. Sorry, you can continue.
But if you don't get into that trap, it's very useful. It's very useful because if you've got a good credit record, you can easily dip into it to deal with your problems as and when they arise.
Mm. Yeah. Now I'm thinking here on the don'ts. There are people who say, the best way to deal with, a credit card that's getting out of hand is to actually cut it. You know, take a scissor, a knife, or whatever you can find, just cut that thing into two pieces, so as you can then be able to, I suppose, get a better handle of your credit card and manage it at a better level. I mean, I don't know, but that's what is out there. A do's. What are the do's then?
No. I think, like I said, it's very, it's very, it's very useful. So, if you look at, so I'm originally from, Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we, over time, you know, the banks in Zim eventually got to a point where, if you had a Zimbabwean bank account, you actually couldn't really use your cards when traveling out the country. But for a long time, there were a few people that were banking with the like with I won't say names, but with international financial institutions that had access to you know, MasterCard and Visa sort of nostrils, and they could actually still get out. And use those cards. And if you bank in South Africa, for let me not say for now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
I get where you're going. I'm with you.
But I mean, if you bank in South Africa and you've got a decent credit card, you can go wherever you want.
Yeah.
You can pay for whatever you want. Anyway, you can go to a coffee shop in Caracas and you pay for coffee. That's quite useful. Yes, it will cost you, but it's a useful thing to have. And like I said earlier, if you've got a credit card and you've got a credit limit and you haven't exhausted it, if you run into an emergency and need to liquidity in excess of what you have, that's something you can dip into. And you know, it'll cost you, but liquidity is something that people can do with from time to time.
I do think that, and maybe I'm wrong, you can correct me here, but I do think that a lot of us, when we get into this credit card, we always get into it with, you know, no, I'll manage this thing better. I won't overspend on it. I won't max it out, as it were. You know, I'll keep, you know, my behavior right. And then things get out of hand and life gives you, you know, a curveball, and then all of a sudden you're paying your coffee or your tea with your credit card and all those sort of stuff. And maybe some people will be like, you know what, the bare minimum that they want is exactly what I'm going to pay, you know, and manage it from there. You spoke about how, for instance, if you pay the bare minimum by 4 o'clock, that bare minimum will be available. So that's a bad thing in essence.
No, that's right. That's right. That's not how to manage.
Yeah.
That's not how to use a credit card.
Yeah.
So your credit rating would actually be affected if you go and are just paying the bare minimum every month. So a credit card is almost something that you need to sweep as and when you get cash. So I spoke to you earlier about what I actually do, right? And I mentioned that big corporates have what are called revolving credit facilities. And those revolving credit facilities are just massive credit cards. And what happens every year when you go and review those revolving credit facilities with your credit committee, they will actually check if they really are revolving credit facilities or if they are actually permanent debt on your client's balance sheet. And when it becomes permanent debt, they start coming up with things like what they call clean down provisions to say, okay, we're actually not worried about these this company. They actually need to clean this thing down every 3 months or something like that, just so that they show that actually this is not now, call it permanent debt on the balance sheet. So banks don't like it when you don't clean down your credit card. It will affect your credit rating. So one has to manage it in a way that in a year You know, I would say every 3 months or even shorter, you need to be at a point where it's fully repaid, and your financial services provider needs to see that. You know, you actually need it for emergencies, and it's not
a permanent,
it's not just a permanent liability on your balance sheet.
So what about people who are, and I'm asking here for entrepreneurs specifically, you know, they've got that black gold credit card that they go swipe around, and it almost, you know, looks like it's a thing because you go to airports, you know, it gives you access to this low lounge and whatever the case might be. And it feels like you're living the good life when you're having these credit cards. For entrepreneurs, are they a risk for their businesses as well?
So for entrepreneurs, it's very useful, and that's where the you know, the working capital cycle point comes in. Because I mean, if you're formally employed, you know that you're getting your salary at the end of the month, so your working capital cycle is something that you understand. So I think for entrepreneurs, it's useful. Look, I mean, things like access to the slow lounge for me really is not. That's not what you get cards for. I mean, when I go to Ora Tambo, I go to Vida Cafe, and I don't even go to the lounge because the lounges are so packed now because everyone has gold cards and black cards and stuff. You know, so I'd rather go to Vida, get my coffee and my sandwich and sit by myself.
Yeah,
but you know, it's not about that. It's for entrepreneurs, it's important to then manage your the ratios that are associated with working capital. Simple things like your current ratio. I mean, everyone knows how to calculate a current ratio. You need to manage that. You can't have your current liabilities being in excess of your current assets. You know, so you need to, because when you get to big corporate status, depending on what your business is, you know, if your business is working capital intensive, that's the type of covenant that a bank would put on you. To say that at any point in time, if we're going to come to your house, I mean, not say your house, but if we're going to come to your company in March, June, September, or December, and your current ratio is below 2:1, then there's a problem. You know, so if your current assets are less than 2x your current liability, that's just an example of a covenant that a bank would say to you. So if, for entrepreneurs, they can, you know, they should dip into credit facilities depending on their working cycle, working capital cycle, but they need to be prudent because you know, once you when you're a business, when you're an individual, you know, it's all dependent on your actual servicing of the debt. But once you become a business, once you're an entrepreneur, then you start getting covenants. The bank starts giving you covenants. They will say to you, in March, you need to show us that at the end of March, your current ratio was 1.5:1, 2:1, et cetera, et cetera. And if you don't show that, then sorry for you.
Because so I find that, entrepreneurs will be like, I've got a deal coming through. It's going to give me X amount of money. So even if I max that credit card, I'll still be able to get some of the money and do that. But I love the ratios thing that you brought up now, because obviously it's going to affect your liquidity and ability to pay back some of your liabilities. If you're not careful, to definitely get out of hand. Now, as we end on this one, what would you say are the absolute times where one should not, you know, or as much as they possibly can avoid getting a credit card?
Look, I would say if it's for luxury purchases.
Yeah.
Look, if you want to go and buy yourself a pair of Louis Vuitton shoes or a Louis Vuitton bag, then I wouldn't say that. Do that on your credit card. If you're going to go on a night out at an expensive restaurant, I would say don't use a credit card.
Mm.
Earlier on, I said if you need some, if you're going through something and you need to go on holiday, then maybe you should. But I would not advise on using that piece of plastic for things that you don't need. That's not what it's for. It's a safety net that a financial services provider can provide you with based on your credit profile. So I would say, it's good to build up a good credit record so that you are able to access a good emergency, call it safety net. That's what it is. It's not for your PlayStation.
Definitely.
It's not for your PlayStation.
You know when they say big boys and their PlayStations? So the big boy must stay away from a PlayStation using a credit card, right?
It's not for your PS5. That's not what it's for.
But there's a new FIFA game that just came out the other day. I mean, I'm sure you can forgive us just once we splash on a new FIFA game that came out. FIFA 2024. I mean,
that's not what a credit card is for.
That's
That's
not
not
what it is for, right?
credit
Any last words? Really appreciate your insights. You've given us some really good advice. How do we sum it up and bring it home?
Yeah, no, so it's a privilege for someone to give you a credit card. First of all, it's testament to your managing of your credit profile. But just don't abuse it, because you can actually get into a negative spiral that you can't get out of. So just keep it there. You can access it as and when you need to get out of trouble. But just make sure that the bank doesn't get to a point where they give you a side eye, and start pulling back on that safety net for you.
Yeah, start looking at you like, hey, the risk here is becoming a little
Yeah,
bit more pronounced to
exactly.
this guy. And since you're swiping this thing, they can see your PS5. But, oh, okay. This guy is doing coffee and PS5s on this credit card and, splashing on holiday trips and stuff. And I think we forget that, these transactions are recorded and these guys do see that, oh, this guy, yeah, no. As you mentioned, then they start side eyeing you and say, yeah, no. You won't do it again in this. But thank you so much, man. Really appreciate your time. Really valuable insights that you've shared with us. And, I love how these concepts, we can take them from, investment banking, corporate banking, try and bring them personal. And, then you can see the link and then it makes sense, especially because, a lot of our listeners being business people and people who are in the corporate space, these type of concepts are very important for us to unpack every single time. But really appreciate your time and may God bless you and your work.
Thanks, Tapu. Always a pleasure.
Appreciate it. That was Mr. Witness Kamara. They're talking to us about the do's and don'ts of credit cards. Hey, those things are very difficult to manage, eh? So manage them properly.
Sense. Listen to Business Sense every Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., and make sense of your money.